Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So, this is a little lengthy purport, so please listen up. Translation: although one may consider the reflection of the sun from a mirror to be false, again, although one may consider the reflection of the sun from a mirror to be false, it has its factual existence. Accordingly, to prove by speculative knowledge that there is no reality would be extremely difficult. Purport: the impersonalists try to prove that the varieties and division of the empirical philosopher are false. The impersonalist philosophy, Vivartavad, generally cites the acceptance of a rope to be a snake as an example of this fact. According to this example, the varieties within our vision are false, just as a rope seen to be a snake is false. The Vaishnavas say, however, that although the idea of the rope is a snake is false, the snake is not false. One has the experience of a snake in reality, and therefore he knows that although the representation of the rope as a snake is false or illusory, there is a snake in reality. Similarly, this world, which is full of varieties, is not false. It is a reflection of the reality in the Vaikuntha world, the spiritual world. So here's the point. This world is simply a reflection of the reality. The reflection of the sun from a mirror is nothing but light within darkness. Thus, although it is not exactly sunlight, without the sunlight, the reflection would be impossible. Just like a shadow is not a reality, and it looks like something of some existence. But the shadow is simply dependent on the presence of the man or the person. So in the same way, this world is simply a reflection of the reality of the world, real world, which exists in the spiritual world. So this world is not false, but it is seen to be false in the sense that it is not the reality. It is a reflection of the reality. The reflection exists only because of the reality. Make sense? Okay. Very good. Thus, although it is not actually sunlight, without sunlight, the reflection would be impossible. Similarly, the varieties of this world would be impossible unless there was a real prototype in the spiritual world. The Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand this, but a real philosopher must be convinced that light is not possible at all without a background of sunlight. Thus, the jugglery of words used by the Mayavadi philosopher to prove that this material world is false may amaze inexperienced children, but a man with full knowledge knows perfectly well that there cannot be any existence without Krishna. Therefore, Vaishnav insists on the platform of somehow or other accepting Krishna. Tasmad kenyapi upayena mana Krishna nivesayet. When we are raised of our unmixed faith to the lotus feet of Krishna, everything is revealed. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita 7:1, Maya shakta mano partaha yoga yujim marasrayam asamsayam samagramam. Now hear, O son of Prita Arjuna, how by practicing yoga with full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So this verse that Prabhupada cites in this purport is the most often spoken verse by Srila Prabhupada out of all the verses he ever spoke of. So how important this verse is. I'll read it again. Now hear, O son of Prita, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, Krishna speaking, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So yoga means to fix the mind on Krishna with what we say, full consciousness of Krishna. That's real yoga. And that is full yoga. Simply by raising one's staunch faith in Krishna and his instructions, one can understand reality without a doubt. Asamsayam samagramam. One can understand how Krishna's material and spiritual energies are working and how he is present everywhere, although everything is not him. This philosophy of achintya bheda bheda, inconceivable oneness and difference, is the perfect philosophy enunciated by Vaishnavas. Everything is an emanation from Krishna, but is not that everything must therefore be worshipped. Speculative knowledge cannot give us reality as it is, but will continue to be nefariously imperfect. Prabhupada uses a strong word, nefarious. Nefariously, that means something like, when something is nefarious, it's like somewhat dark or evil or somewhat, unsacred. So mental speculation to understand truth is considered to be nefarious. Because it is simply one's mental juggery. And mental juggery can never come up with reality, in the sense that mental juggery is limited and reality is beyond mind, intelligence, and beyond imagination. You can't even imagine. Imagination can go beyond intelligence. You can use your imagination beyond the range of intelligence, but even by imagination, one cannot understand the absolute truth. So those persons who are mental speculators are simply using some kind of imaginary form of understanding simply by observation and empirical knowledge. I see something, therefore I exist in relation to something else. You know. I see the deity, therefore the deity is stone or wood. Can't move, can't talk, can't eat. You put the food in front of the altar, and you take it away, and it's the same way it was when you brought it on there, right? It's all ritual, right? Mental speculation. But a Vaishnava knows that Krishna eats, and not only does he eat, but that has been transformed into something completely spiritual. What was once material, now is spiritual. Simply by the process of devotion. So, therefore the devotees know, or the Vaishnavas know, that mental speculation is always wrong. Everything is an emanation from Krishna, but it is not that everything must be worshipped. Speculative knowledge, okay. So, so-called scientists try to prove that there is no God, and that everything is happening because of the laws of nature. But this is imperfect knowledge, because nothing can work unless directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 9:10 by the Lord Himself. Maya dakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetunane dakonteya jagavipar-vivartate. Translation, this material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and non-moving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So here's the conclusion. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya gives this note. Durga tava atavena parameshwara renaiva kalpitam. The background of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. This can be understood by a Mahatma who is perfect in knowledge. Such a Mahatma is rarely seen. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Kenajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swampadantika Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivin Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this month is a different month from the rest of the months of the year. It generally comes up every 29 months. It's called Purushottam Mas. Purushottam Mas is one of the, is, not one, is, it's the holiest of all months. It is named after Krishna himself. Krishna is called Purushottam. And this month is equal to 16 kartiks. If you perform vratas for a kartik for 16 years, that is equal to the performance of vratas, austerities, penances in this month. How valuable this month is. That's spiritually valuable. One can make tremendous spiritual progress in this month. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's one chapter called Purushottam Yoga. Krishna's particular speaking about what is concluded as being the highest philosophical knowledge is mentioned in that chapter. And what is that knowledge? It begins by explaining what we're exactly talking about here, that there's a tree. The tree is a banyan tree. And the banyan tree is completely different than other trees in that its roots go upward and its branches come downward. It looks like the opposite. It's actually, what we say, can be seen as a reflection of the reality. And it's mentioned in that section that the branches are the different activities of the living entities. The leaves are like the hymns of the Vedas. The twigs are like the modes of material energy. The buds are like the senses, sense objects. So what is this tree? This tree is like a formation of the material world. But the tree is upside down. Just like if you see a regular tree in the reflection of a water on the bank of a river, everything looks upside down. The branches, the roots, or everything is turned upside down. So this example is used to give us an understanding what is this material world. And what is it to explain that this material world is a reflection of the reality? In the reality, everything exists. In the reflection, it looks like the reality. But in the reflection, what you don't get is what's in the reality. The nature of the soul is ananda, or pleasure. That is our nature. Everyone is, by nature, pleasurable in existence and always trying to experience pleasure. But in this world, because it's not the reality, although the reality exists within the spiritual world, the spiritual world is ananda, Krishna is ananda, we are also ananda. When we try to find that ananda in this material world, we don't find it. Just like if you see bananas in the mirror and you think, oh boy, that looks really nice. Or when we say Mother Kalangana's sweets reflected in the mirror. Now, it looks just as nice as it does when it's not in the mirror. Because it's very transcendent. But if you go to grab it in the mirror, you don't get it. All you get is the effort for grabbing it. That's all you get. So in the same way, this example is used that although this world is real, as Prabhupada very emphatically emphasizes over and over again, this world is not false. But it is false in the sense that it can't give what the soul is looking for. That's the falsity. It appears that it can give, just like the mirror is reflecting the reality and it looks as just the same as the reality. But you can't eat the prasadam in the mirror. Nor is the person in the mirror really there. That person is reflected by the mirror. So in the same way, this material world can't give us what we're looking for. And what are we looking for? Happiness and ultimately love. That's why Prabhupada says in this world, there's no love. Because there's no reality to center the love upon. What is that love centered on? The material body. And the body is simply a combination of the material elements that are always changing. The body is always changing. And therefore the body is, in the sense that it's used, the Shastras give us both sides. See, the Mayavadis, they have an argument because they take the literal words of the Shastras and simply repeat it. But they don't understand how that literacy is understood in practical application. So therefore, the Shastras also say, this world is illusionary. It's an illusion. It's a grand illusion. But at the same time, the Shastras say it's also real. Just as the reflection in the mirror is also based on the reality. Without the reality, the reflection can't exist. So this world cannot exist without the reality in the spiritual world. But we, in the material world, are trying to find what exists in the spiritual world, in the material world. And that is called, what we say, illusion. That's the real illusion. It's like, you ever see smoke? Smoke, kind of like, I'm sure we all see smoke. And if you tried to grab some smoke, you could see it, and it looks like it's there. And you grab it, and you open your hand, what do you get? It's not there. It looks like it's there. So in the same way, this is a simple example to help us understand that what we're looking for in this world doesn't exist in this world. I'll give you an example. There was a man, this is not a little story, it's an anecdote actually. A man, he's looking on the ground, he's looking, long time. His friend comes along, he says, what are you looking for? He says, I lost some money. So his friend says, oh, okay, let me help you. So they're both looking. And then the friend says, you sure you lost it here? He says, no, I lost it down there, but there's more light here. It appears that the spiritual world is dark compared to our realization of the spiritual world. What can we see, we can touch, and we can experience the things and the objects and the, what we say, the relationships in this world. And we put all our hopes, efforts, energy, time, and life in trying to find happiness in this, what we say, apparent reality. But what do we get? We only get the effort that we put in. We don't get what we're looking for because it just doesn't exist. As a person who is looking for money in a place where there is no money, but it seems to be there because there's light. Well, that's the nature of this material world. That's why this world is called dark. It's called tamo andham. It is darkness of ignorance. When Krishna wants to make a point, he makes it over and over. Therefore, in the Gita, he says that over and over, this world is dukhalayam ashashvatam. It's temporary and it's miserable. He says anitya asubham. In another place, he says it's temporary and it's miserable. He says it in different ways in different places. Why? Because he knows this is the most difficult thing for the living entity to understand. And we find that sometimes even after understanding or hearing philosophy, still we can't apply it. Why can't we apply it? That is called our conditioned nature. Our conditioned nature. But here is a very philosophical point is being made. One should see things according to reality. One should see things according to reality. And that is called Shastra Chakshus. Shastra means scripture and Chakshu means eyes. And one's eyes have to be aligned with truth. And one should see through truth and not see through the senses. Because the senses are imperfect. It says that the conditioned soul has four defects. Senses are imperfect, subject to illusion, makes mistakes, and cheating. And actually, it's a progression. By being subject to illusion, having imperfect senses, we're subject to illusion. And because we're subject to illusion, we make mistakes, and when we make mistakes, we try to cover it over, and that's called cheating. So these four things are actually there. So therefore, that's the nature of the conditioned soul in this material world. So therefore, one has to accept knowledge from the perfect source. And the perfect source is Krishna. And what is that knowledge? That the only reality is devotional service. This banyan tree that we describe is a reflection of the reality. And in the verses in that same chapter, it says that one must cut this tree down. But one cannot find the tree anywhere. If you try to trace out through philosophical speculation, or not mental speculation, but philosophical speculation, which is a bona fide form of speculation, if you try to come to the understanding of where this material world begins and where it ends, you'll go on for thousands of lifetimes. It's so vast and so complicated because it's Krishna's energy. And it's always changing. Therefore, one cannot find the root of this banyan tree of illusion simply by philosophical speculation. But how does one destroy this knowledge, this tree? This tree is destroyed by cultivating spiritual knowledge and by detachment. That is the beginning of what we say, understanding the process of devotional service. Devotional service is not dependent on philosophical knowledge nor detachment. But as Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion, and also when he first began in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he said that in order to practice devotional service effectively, one should cultivate spiritual knowledge and detach oneself from material activities. As long as the conditioned soul is still trying to find happiness through material activities or through material sense gratification, that effort will destroy one's effort in devotional service. Jai CC Prahagokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Sisi Gauranitai ki jai. So what is that detachment? Detachment is easy to understand. It's not that you have to stop anything. Rupa Goswami says, Ayanaya Shakti Visayan Yaryata Upayunjite Nirbande Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya. Here's the key, Yukta. Yukta Vairagya. What is Yukta Vairagya? Means to use what Krishna has given you in devotional service. That's real renunciation. Not simply stopping material activities, but using material things in the service of the Lord. Because actually, everything is spiritual. Krishna cannot create anything material. So when we say this world is material, it's simply a designated definition that helps us understand that something that is apparently cut off from the Supreme has another, what we say, definition. In other words, as soon as the living entity sees, or their consciousness is separate from Krishna, that's called material. As soon as that same consciousness is connected to Krishna, that's called spiritual. As soon as you eat prasadam, that's spiritual. As soon as you eat bhoga, that's material. The eating process is the same. If you glorify the politicians, that's material. If you glorify Krishna, that's spiritual. So it's a matter of simply taking everything. Krishna says in Gita, Yat karosi, yaranasi, yat jahosi, dadasi, yat tatapasi, tukunti, tat kurusho mararpan. He says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever activities you perform, whatever sacrifice, do it for me. That's all. That's the key, or that's the beginning of devotional practice, to do everything as a service to the Lord. But why should I do that? What about me? I got my plans. I'm young. I want to get an education. I need to get married. I need to get a home. I have to get a good job. How do you go? Well, will Krishna provide that if I simply stop thinking about all these things and just engage in devotional service? I don't know. He's pretty busy. he may not get to me, and by the time he gets to me, it might be too late. I might be an old person by then. We don't think exactly like that, but internally, the mood is we don't have full faith in Krishna. Well, the faith is not developed to the point where we actually understand that Krishna can take care of all our needs, materially and spiritually. I think Malati was making that point yesterday in class, that Krishna provides whatever we need, but it's in proportion. Here's the key, is proportion. As Krishna says in Gita, yayatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajami aham. That if you approach me 50%, that's what you're going to get. If you approach me 80%, that's what you'll get. In other words, how much does the conditioned soul want to surrender to Krishna? Because surrender is also proportional. We can surrender 10%, 20%. But surrender is not something optional, because to not surrender means to be in a situation of what we say, what's the word? To be in an abnormal situation. Surrender is natural, because ultimately everything is Krishna. And to see something outside of Krishna means to see wrong. Just like to see the reflection in the mirror as a reality is not right, because it's coming as it's due to the presence of the reality that the reflection is there also. So the reflection is dependent on the reality. So everything in this world is simply connected to Krishna. So therefore, and Prabhupada one time was giving a lecture, he shocked everybody. You know, Prabhupada was expert at shocking people. Because he could speak the same thing from different sides and come up with the same conclusion by presenting the same thing in different ways. That's called Krishna, it's described in Nectar Devotion. A person who is a genius can apparently balance opposing points and still come up with a logical, rational conclusion. Whereas people say, well, this is right and this is wrong. We say this is right at this from this angle, and this is right from this angle, and this is right from this angle, and this is right from this angle. Just like we say this material world is meant for the enjoyment of the living entity. Yeah, it's true. That's why the world exists, so the living entity can try to enjoy. And ultimately, that's correct. But in another sense, it's not, because you can't enjoy. Although everybody's trying. So, Prabhupada was saying one time, you are Krishna, I am Krishna, we're all Krishna. That was his lecture. And then finally, after going on for some time to saying everything is Krishna, the desk is Krishna's. But ultimately, he says, then there's Krishna and Krishna's energy. And Krishna's energy and Krishna are the same and different simultaneously. So here he said, this is the philosophy of Chintabheda-Bheda-Tattva. If you know this philosophy, or if you understand the principles that make up this philosophy, you can understand everything. This is the key to understanding everything, this philosophy. That everything is one with God, and at the same time different than God. There are many schools of philosophers. Some say one, some say different, some say one and different, and some say one and different in a marginal way. And these are all what is called bona fide philosophies. But just like, how might we say that... There's different kinds of, what would be a good example? Something is right, but then more right, and more right, and more right. In other words, something is complete, but complete in a limited way. That's, again, I'll give you a good example is us. We're complete, the soul is complete, but in a limited way. God is complete, but in an unlimited way. Both are complete. But our completeness in one sense, becomes incomplete when we're not connected to Krishna, although we're complete. Make sense? But ultimately, in order to understand our relationship with Krishna, we have to connect our completeness with Krishna's unlimited completeness, and then we become completely unlimited also. Just like when there is an ocean, you don't become the unlimited. You become connected to the unlimited, therefore you also take on the qualities of the unlimited by not becoming the unlimited. Make sense? So we have to read Prabhupada's books to understand. And ultimately, what it boils down to is don't try to be happy here. That's the whole philosophy. After all this whole thing, is just try to engage in devotional service. That's all. And whatever you're looking for can be found in devotional service. And we sing that every day. Siguru charana prati ese utamagati e prasadi purvi sarva as. That by serving the lotus feet of the spiritual master, all of one's desires are automatically fulfilled, both material and spiritual. Because for Krishna doesn't see the devotee as a material object, he sees that whatever the devotee needs, if that devotee is engaged in devotional service, Krishna will provide for that devotee. Sometimes he doesn't provide right away. He makes us wait, or he makes us qualify. He wants to see if we can qualify to receive that mercy. In other words, just like a person comes to Krishna consciousness and it expects to become a pure devotee overnight. Well, you're in the pure atmosphere and you're engaging in pure activities, but the purity will manifest in due course of time. So therefore, Rupa Goswami explains the process of devotional service is based on patience. Patience. But how much patience? I've been patient for 40 years. But what's 40 years? Or 30 years? Or 20 years? Right? If we were to understand how long we've been in this material world, in terms of the amount of bodies we have, we would see that 40 years cannot even be considered a time period in relationship to how long we've been in this material world. It's totally immeasurable. It's so small. But 40 years or 50 years or 100 years seems like a long time. Just like Hayagriva Prabhu, in the very early days of Krishna consciousness, after practicing devotional service, he said, Prabhupada. Yeah, it was very aristocratic, spoke very perfect English, what we say dictionary English, and a very deep and what we say English brogue, Prabhupada. I have been practicing devotional service for 1 year, but I don't have love of God. Prabhupada said, oh, 1 year. Very good. Continue. How long have you been in the material world? Oh, well, but the Prabhupada also says the process is instant. At the same time, what we say, gradual. What is the instant aspect of devotional service? Is that one can completely surrender in one moment. And we have the example of Maharaj Kadvanga. Prabhupada would use this example to show how that devotional service can be perfected in one moment. And I'll give you another example after this one. But this is interesting. Maharaj Kadvanga was a powerful king who was living on earth. Big fight started in the heavens. The demigods needed his assistance. He came with all his armies. They fought. The demigods beat the demons. The demigods were pleased with Maharaj Kadvanga. They said, Maharaj, we want to give you a benediction. You fought so nicely. Anything, please ask. Maharaj said, I want to know when I'm going to die. They said, Maharaj, you have 1 moment left. That's the end of your life. And Prabhupada says, in that one moment, he fixed his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord and attained perfection. So it only takes one moment to become perfect, if we could fix our mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. But here's the formula for perfection. This is the practical, doable, day-to-day formula of perfection is, my dear Lord, whatever you want, I want. That's all. In other words, surrender to the will of the Lord, surrender to the will of the spiritual master, and that is perfection. And that will lead, eventually, to what we say perfect consciousness or Krishna consciousness. If we're marginal in our mood of surrender, then it'll take forever. But if we're surrendered, we can surrender in one moment. My dear Lord, whatever you want, I'm ready. Whatever service I have to do, whatever I have to give up, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would challenge all of us. I remember he challenged the whole GBC body in Mayapur during the meetings one year. He said, I want you all to make this one prayer. Please listen to the prayer. Make this prayer. My dear Lord, whatever I need to become fully surrendered, please bring it on. And whatever I need, whatever I don't need that is blocking my full surrender, please take it away. Nice prayer. And that's a prayer of perfection. But it gets scary after a while. Because as soon as you make that, Krishna starts working. And then you'll see. And we get tested. But we should have faith that ultimately whatever Krishna does through the process of devotional service will bring us to what we're looking for, eternal and what we say, unlimited happiness. Nayam deho deho bhajan nirloke kastan kama arati vidbhujan jay tapo divyam putrakardyanitsavam. By performing austerities, one can get divyam, or transcendental. Yusman atam brahma sakyam twanantam. The last line is important. That material happiness is limited and not real happiness. But spiritual happiness is twanantam, unlimited. Brahma sokyam means spiritual happiness, is unlimited. So cut down the tree by becoming averse to material activities, or perform your material activities for the pleasure of the Lord. In other words, if I want to get married, I'm looking for a spouse, I should get a Krishna conscious spouse and not somebody who I like just because they look good and have nice personalities and so many other nice things. Because by getting a Krishna conscious husband or wife, it's more inclined that I'll be able to practice Krishna consciousness nicely throughout my whole life. If I have to get a job, let me get a job that is free from the activities of the four sinful activities like that. Although other jobs may be available, I don't want them, even if I need the money. So the point is, do everything in relationship to what's favorable for our spiritual life. That's the basic principle. And that requires guidance, directions, and what we say. And, of course, intelligence. Okay, this section is very, very philosophical. And we need that because without philosophy, we are simply on the mental platform. Okay, any questions, comments?